Porzingis with another block. He's got a handful tonight.
Leopard play right there.
Porzingis from Jennings. Throwdown and a foul.
He throws it ahead to Porzingis. Oh, what a finish. Comes back. Anthony backs in, turns, puts it up. Puts it in with 3 seconds remaining. Rose, the crossover, gets to the rim. Oh, what a beauty from Derrick Rose.
Razzle dazzle. Igniting.
Game in which the Knicks have never led.
Rose, a crossover. And Derrick Rose flying through the air. Aloha.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy New Year. Today is January 1st, Sunday, and I can't believe it's 2017 already. 2016 flew by, but thank you for joining me on this podcast, episode 3. This podcast will be available for download on iTunes and Podomatic. Make sure you please subscribe to me and download all the episodes so you can hear me talk every week about the New York Knicks basketball. And also, please make sure you're following me on Twitter. That's at Knicks Nation. And please make sure you're following me on Instagram as well, at Knicks Nation. Well, let's get started. This week, the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's, was a big week for the Knicks. They came into the Garden on Sunday afternoon, Christmas Day. Everyone was giddy for that game, getting hyped for that game. You know, it's Christmas Day. It's the first game of the Christmas Day. And, you know, we thought that the Knicks were going to make a statement, but we were totally wrong. The Knicks in that game got down third quarter. They were down by, 15, 16 points to the Boston Celtics. Fourth quarter, they made their little run. You know, they tied the game at the end and made one of those fake Knick comebacks that we always know that they're capable of doing. You know, how the Knicks come back and then they ultimately lose the game. But the Knicks did fight in that game. As I just said, fourth quarter, they actually tied the game. And then Carmelo Anthony dribble, sideline, baseline, dribble. Then Avery Bradley steals the ball from him, and that's all she wrote pretty much. And then, what is it, Marcus Smart hit a game-winning shot, and, you know, whatever. That game got me mad. But they lost that game. Next game, they went up to Atlanta, and we all know what happened that game. Second quarter, midway through the first half, Carmelo Anthony and Thabo Sefolosha get into a little scuffle. Carmelo's trying to grab a rebound, and they get tangled, and, you know, his fist accidentally hits Sefolosha in the face. Then they review it and they wind up ultimately throwing out Carmelo Anthony in that game. And that was a tough blow because the Knicks really were playing well up to that point. Well, not up to that point. Fourth quarter, they were playing well. They made, you know, they were up by 6. And then I think the Hawks went on like a 14-2 run, and the Hawks went up 8. And then it was a back and forth game. And the Knicks tied it up, had a chance to win it. Porzingis, we all know what happened, got fouled at the three-point line. But this is what bothered me in that game. Okay, Porzingis, you missed the first free throw. Okay. You're still down 3. Hit the second free throw, which you did. Okay, the Knicks are down 2. Then Porzingis purposely misses the third free throw. And in my head, I'm like, what are you doing? Make the free throw. You're down 1 if you hit that free throw. Hawks ball, foul Atlanta. If they hit 1 out of 2, you're only down 2. If they hit 2 out of 2, you're only down 3. And you still have, 2-3 seconds left to get off a nice quality shot. In 2-3 seconds, anything can happen in the NBA. Anything can happen. But, yeah, Knicks lost that game. You know, Dwight Howard, you know, whatever, pushing around Porzingis. Dwight Howard is garbage. But Okay, we didn't think the Knicks were going to lose that game because, you know, it's Atlanta. They're playing well. They lost six straight games at home. But, yeah, the Knicks lost that game, and then the Knicks go to New Orleans and face Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. And, you know, they lost. I mean, it's just so frustrating because this team, 10 games ago, I was giving this team high praise about their beating the teams they're supposed to beat, and we're on the right path to success, and can the Knicks make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and yada, 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 this and that. They lose to Boston, they lose to Atlanta, and they lose to the Pelicans. Like, the New Orleans Pelicans, bro. They can't even defend the Knicks. In this game, not in this game, this whole season, people just blow by the Knicks defenders and get to the rack at will, and there's no just no defensive presence. Like, one game, give me somebody on the floor. Throw somebody on the floor for me and get a flagrant or something. Like, bring back the 90s Knicks where, you know, nobody can just drive to the paint at will and score on you. Because right now, that's what's happening. The Knicks' interior defense is horrible. Their perimeter defense is horrible. And then, yeah, Courtney Lee is out, has been out for the last three games with a sore right wrist. But, you know, the Knicks are missing him. But still, you know, all the guys got to step up. Injuries are a part of the NBA. And right now, that's just not happening. The Knicks clearly miss Courtney Lee, and they miss all his intangibles and what he brings to the game, his three-point shooting, his offensive rebound, his defense. But when you take away Courtney Lee, then you have, you know, Lance Thomas, or whether it's Justin Holiday, or yesterday it was Brandon Jennings and Derrick Rose. You know, you lose a lot of defensive abilities because Jennings and Holiday, they're not really good defenders. I mean, they're, you know, quick and savvy and smart, but they're not strong. Like, they can't upheld a big body backing them down. So yeah, the Knicks go to New Orleans and they lose that game, and you know, it was a frustrating game. It really was. And then yesterday, when James Harden went 2K mode on rookie, as Brandon Jennings said, James Harden drops, this is like a real stat, 53 points, 16 rebounds, and 17 assists. The first player ever with 50, 15, and 15. And of course, it has to be against the New York Knicks, because everybody picks up career numbers and everybody plays well against the New York Knicks. It just seems like opponents circle the calendar and they're like, oh, we're playing the Knicks? Let me try to get my career high or this and that. But James Harden went crazy. And you know, the thing about James Harden, like, he gets to the line at will, and the referees allow him to get to the line. This dude flops like crazy. Like, I'm sitting there watching the game with my friends, and, like, he's, like, he whips his head back. He's smart. And some of the foul calls that they called on the Knicks against Harden, I mean, he's smart, you know. But come on, man. This has been happening for how many years? And this dude gets to the line at will. But I'm not going to complain about that. Ultimately, the Knicks defense has been a shell of themselves. They've been awful. They've lost 7 of their last 9 games. They're just not. They don't have an identity, really. They drop under 500 again when they were just 4 games over 500. This team right now is not on the right path. Right now they sit at 8th in the East when they were just number 4 in the East. Now we have injuries to Porzingis, sore left Achilles, and Melo, sore left knee. It just seems like the ship is like literally crashing all at the same time. Courtney Lee, sore left hand. You know, hopefully everyone else on this team stays healthy, but yesterday was a tough game. You know, Houston's playing well. They're a top team in the West. You know, got to give a lot of credit to Mike D'Antoni, who's coaching a hell of a team over there. James Harden is throwing up video game numbers. You know, I mean, 53-16-7. I mean, come on, man. But, you know, yeah, but as soon as you think the Knicks are on the right path and they, you know, they were winning, they won seven of their last, what, nine games, and everyone was talking about, yeah, the Knicks are playing really well. And then, you know, that Phoenix game, and it really turned this team around. This team hasn't been the same since losing in Phoenix. I mean, the Knicks have to get their act together, because the East, you can lose, what, four games in a row, which the Knicks have, and they've dropped to number eight in the East, and they were just four in the East. I mean, they can easily go on a four-game winning streak and get back up there. But it's tough. I mean, the Knicks, yeah, they're winning at home, but the problems on the road are repeating themselves as they were in the beginning of the season. Now the Knicks have lost five in a row on the road, and they just haven't gotten it done on both ends of the floor, defensive, and, you know, sometimes the offense is sporadic and on and off. But this team has to get their act together, because, you know, these games, yeah, it looks like these next four games, the Knicks have Orlando, Milwaukee twice, who's been playing well, and, you know, they have the Pacers at Indiana. I mean, these are winnable games, but these are the New York Knicks. You know, I can point out winnable games that the Knicks have lost this season, and I can point out games that they should have lost and they won. You know, this team is really inconsistent right now. Really inconsistent. I'm going to throw out you guys, you know, some stats that I've been doing research. I mean, the Knicks are 21st in the NBA in field goal percentage, 25th in free throw attempts per game. And the refs have been a problem to me. I mean, the league really has to look at this, because these refs, the last pretty much all season, I don't want to say the last four or five games, but it just seems like nothing goes the Knicks' way. You know, it just seems like all the calls are against the Knicks, and they just can't catch a break with these refs. You would think, you know, that, you know, we'll catch a break sometime. But again, I sound like a typical complaining Knicks fan, but I think everyone can agree that's listening. Like, these refs have been awful. But I can point out every game a bad call, and not just one, two or three or four. And they just have to come down to the ending of the game where it means the most. These refs are not calling anything, and they're swallowing the whistles. And, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm just, you know, it just has to stop. The NBA has to look at this. Because even Indiana's own Paul George has said it. It's like the NBA has big brother teams, and the NBA has, you know, little brother teams. And he states that the Indiana Pacers are a little brother team. And I want to ask Paul George if he's been watching any of the Knicks games, because clearly he hasn't, because the NBA is like treats the Knicks like they're a bad team and they shouldn't deserve any wins. But these refs, There should be a disciplinary action to referees that miss a certain call or miss an important call down the stretch. I mean, yeah, the NBA has their little 2-minute report going on with, you know, Kevin Durant coming out and saying that the 2-minute report is BS, because it just throws the refs under the bus and it just pretty much calls them out on calls they haven't made. But it has to be done, because these referees have been inconsistent all year, and I can't speak for any other team in the NBA besides the Knicks, but I mean, come on, like, how do you miss that charge call on Paul Millsap versus Porzingis in Atlanta? How do you miss that? And then Jeff Hornacek gets a technical, and that 1-point technical foul pretty much lost us the game. Like, he's just walk away, You missed a critical call in the game. Don't give the coach a technical for your mistake. Don't make him even more angry. Like, it's just, there should be fines, and this is happening all around national sports and in the NFL, and Cam Newton coming out saying these refs need to be fined, and he's going to talk to Roger Goodell about it. But it's the NBA too. I mean, these refs get paid good money, and you would think they'll make great calls, but they don't. I mean, they really don't. But it's not going to stop the Knicks from losing. I mean, 7 out of the last 9 games. It's more than the referees. The referees are a part of that, but this Knicks defense has been just, I've been repeating myself throughout my last 2 episodes of my podcast, and the Knicks defense doesn't look like it's going to get better. They've been awful. They just can't defend anybody on the perimeter. They just don't know what they're doing. And I asked myself, maybe Hornacek should switch up the way the Knicks play defense. Maybe play a little zone, switch it up. You know, maybe the Knicks just aren't capable of guarding their defender one-on-one by themselves out on the perimeter. And, you know, that leads to help. And, you know, when Porzingis helps or Noah helps, they get into foul trouble. It's just a mess right now. It's a mess. And to me, you know I've been very critical of Carmelo Anthony, and I'm very supportive of Carmelo Anthony. There's some games where he looks like a superstar, and there's some games where he looks like he's regressing in the NBA. I mean, he's 31 years old. I mean, let's face it, like, his defense has been regressing throughout the years, and he's not a 3 anymore. I really think the Knicks should look at this and put him at the 4 position and put Porzingis at the 5. You know, spread the floor a little bit, because Carmelo, the Knicks don't defend anyway, so why not put Porzingis at that 5 and bring Noah off the bench? I mean, Porzingis is a good interior defender. I mean, he can, you know, hold his own. He's 7'3". I mean, if he's not blocking shots, then what is he doing out there? But he is blocking shots. He's blocking like 2-3 shots a game. I mean, put Porzingis at the 5, put Melo at the 4, spread the floor a little bit. I don't know who you would insert into the starting lineup. You know, maybe a Justin Holiday or maybe a Kuzminskis, because please don't give me Lance Thomas, who has been, let me just be nice and say hasn't been playing great this year. He hasn't. I mean, you know, he's dealing with that, the foot injury, and it just seems like every year, last year was an injury, this year was an injury, he missed time, this year he missed like 10 games or something like that. But, you know, it's not Lance Thomas. He's not the answer. I would put Holiday in there and spread the floor and see what you can do, because this starting lineup isn't getting it done. They're getting off the slow starts. They're giving up a lot of points in the first quarter. And, you know, you can't just keep digging yourself into a hole that you can't ultimately recover from throughout the game, because this Knicks team is getting down 10, 15 points in the first quarter, and it's killing them throughout the game, because now they have to exert all this energy and try to fight back into the game, which most of the times they do, but they just don't have enough to get over the hump and actually win the game. And, you know, it's just a mess all around, and I think you should pull Noah out the starting lineup and start Porzingis. But now we have to deal with Carmelo Anthony's sore knee, and we don't know how long he's going to be out. He played in the first half, and then he said that, came back in the locker room and started to bother him. And here's an interview of Carmelo Anthony talking about his knee after the loss last night to the Houston Rockets.
Yesterday in the first quarter, I banged it with Cunningham. I was able to get through the game. Then today I was kind of contemplating if I was going to give it a go, give it a shot or not. And then I just decided at the last minute, just go out there and just play and try to get through it. But then the more that I played, the more that I tried to run on it, the sore it got, And at halftime, you know, I came in here, and it was, you know, they just pulled me.
So is it a bruise, or what does it feel like is going on there?
I was just sore. I mean, it's just sore, bruise. I don't think it's a bruise. It's probably just sore. You know, give it a day. You know, the rest, get some treatment, and, you know, evaluate it on Monday. We play next.
So any concerns about coming back on the second?
No. I don't think so. I don't think it's that serious. I think it was just the fact that, you know, it happened, you know, last night, you know, and trying to go out there and play again tonight. You know, I don't think it would be an issue, you know, here come the second.
You happy to have 2016 now behind you? I mean, it was kind of a strange year. You've had three different coaches in the year.
Now that you said that, you know, I really haven't had a chance to kind of reflect on 2016. It's been, I mean, overall, there's been some great, you know, things that happened in 2016. And, you know, I actually forgot some of the things that's happened early in 2016 and last season. But for the most part, you know, I can say 2016 was very productive. You know, I know for myself, and, you know, now I get an opportunity to look ahead to 2017 and kind of put this behind us. And
all right, so you hear Carmelo Anthony talking about his injury, and he said he's going to try to give it a go next game. And so it's not something serious. It looks like we'll have him back versus Orlando on Monday, which is January 2nd, which is tomorrow. So let's see how the Knicks respond. Hopefully Porzingis will be back, Carmelo Anthony will be back, and the Knicks start, you know, their winning ways again. But they haven't shown us consistency all year, and it's just it hasn't been good. It hasn't been good at all. I mean, I know I could speak for all of you, and I could speak for myself. And, you know, the New York Knicks fan base is one of the realest out there. We have fans all over the country, and I have listeners in Spain and England and South Africa and China, Japan. I mean, the Knicks are world known team, and it's just so frustrating to everybody, and including myself, that this Knicks team can't get over the hump, and they can't just, you know, start winning, and can't really be consistent. And it's just, you know, we've been going through this for so long, for like a decade now. It's been up and down. We haven't had good winning seasons. We, besides the 2013 season when we went to the second round of the playoffs, but that was a little tease. But we just, this Knicks team has to get their act together. They really do. You know, they should want to do it for the diehards out there, the fans, and it just makes New York a better place to be when the Knicks are winning and everyone feels good. You know, it really makes your day. Like when the Knicks win a close game and they win a great game, the next morning you head into work, you head into school feeling good because your team won. You know, your team beat out a good, solid team. And, you know, I don't think the players realize how good it makes New Yorkers feel when they actually win. You know, those days where you go into work or going to school and brag about the Knicks, and you always have those Knicks haters who always say, you know, the Knicks suck and they're not going to get it done. And I mean, they've been right most of the years, but it just feels good going into school or work and, you know, bragging about your team and your team's finally winning. And it just makes your aura like happy and just makes you feel good about yourself. And it just makes you get through your day, and you're sitting there, you know, reliving the win. And I remember whenever the Knicks would win a good game, I would go on YouTube and just watch the highlights over and over and over again. I remember that Bulls game earlier this year when the Knicks went to Chicago and beat the Bulls, and Derrick Rose was playing well and Joakim Noah was playing well. And I went to YouTube right away and I just watched the winning highlights because it just makes me happy, and it makes me feel good about the Knicks winning, and it makes me feel good about myself. And it just brings a great vibe to the city. And I think the players need to start realizing that, because they need to start winning, because this losing nonsense has to stop, and it just has to. just has to stop. But this portion of the podcast, you know, I take your questions on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Knicks Nation. You know, whenever I tweet, send me some questions in to so I can answer them on my podcast. So I appreciate all you guys for asking me these questions. The first question I'm going to get into is from Tyler. Biggest disappointment so far, and he put in quotation marks, biggest disappointment player so far. I would say the biggest disappointment is Joakim Noah, although he's been playing well, you know, these past few games. He hasn't been that Joakim Noah that we've always known him for in Chicago, and he won defensive player in the year and when he was a defensive force down low. And I would say that's been the biggest disappointment. But when we first signed him, I don't think anyone expected much out of him. I didn't, because I knew last year he had a horrible year. I actually followed Chicago games last year. And when they signed him, I was like, you know, that's a terrible contract. He hasn't even played well for the past couple of years. Yeah, he's been hurt, but when he's been back, he hasn't been consistent at all. So I think that's the biggest disappointment so far. We got our next question is from Steven. He says, love Melo, but hypothetical trade package for him? Not going to happen. But curious what players you think would fit well. You know, I don't really know. You know, Carmelo Anthony has a no trade clause, so I think that's the last thing the Knicks are thinking about is trading their star player. And everyone thinks that he's a problem. I mean, yeah, his defensive ways have been a cause to the Knicks losing, and you know, sometimes he's lazy, but you know, he's a scorer and he just needs to be moved to that power forward position, and I think the Knicks will get the best out of him. Because, you know, at the end of the day, he still is Carmelo Anthony, and let's not, you know, take anything away from that. But, you know, a trade package for him, I mean, yeah, like you said, it's not going to happen. But if it did happen, I would just want draft picks, you know, a first rounder, a couple first rounder, and a nice solid player. Like, I mean, I'm just speaking out of my mind. Let's say he goes to the Spurs, you know, Jonathan Simmons over there is a good young player. And then, you know, I would take back like two first rounders or something like that, something to build the future. Something, or maybe a veteran as well to help Porzingis grow. But, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, he has a no trade clause, as I just said. And, you know, let's just ride the ship. My next question on Twitter comes from Ishida. I'm hoping I'm said your name right. She writes, what defensive changes are the Knicks going to have to make to get us out of this losing slump? I mean, as I stated early on in the podcast, I really think they should put Porzingis at the five and bring Joakim off the bench, because right now they're very slow on the defensive end, and Carmelo is slow, and I mean, Derrick Rose is a good defender, but it just seems like it's not working right now. Something's not clicking. So I think they need to play more zone defense, you know, make shooters shoot, and hopefully, you know, the Knicks can get back to their defensive ways where they've been winning games just off of their defense. But like I said, bring Joakim off the bench and switch up the lineup. I think the lineup needs to be switched up because right now it's just not working. Our next question is from Patrick Curtis Reyes. He's asking a question about the podcast, not a question about the Knicks. He said you should bring in fans to speak on the podcast, like getting a group together. Like, I personally wouldn't mind putting my two cents in. Hey, that's a great idea, and I've been thinking about doing that, and maybe I would do that. I've been thinking about, you know, taking in some calls, but I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm still trying to, you know, I'm still new to this. So I'm definitely going to do that in the future, and whether it's next podcast or the podcast after that, I really don't know. But I'm definitely going to try to get some fans in and try to get some, you know, guests in to speak on behalf of the New York Knicks. But I appreciate your feedback, and I'm really going to try to do that. But yeah, like I said, I'm just new to this stuff, and I'm just trying to get my feet wet first, and then I'll take some calls and get your two cents in. But those are some good questions, and I thank you guys for chiming in, and whoever's listening out there, just make sure you follow me on Twitter, and so you can ask me some more questions. I would like to get you guys involved in this podcast. Like I said, I might take your calls soon. Eventually, I will do that. But just as of right now, I'm just taking questions on Twitter. Just keep following me on Twitter, Knicks Nation, as I go through every Knick game with feeling, I wouldn't say depression, but just feeling, you know, just stressful. You know, every game is stressful. Every game I'm pulling my hair out like, oh my goodness, is again, like, come on, bro, again. You know, every it seems like every game they can't, when they win, they can't win easily. And when they lose, they either get blown out or they lose close, which, like, messes up my mind because I'm sitting there on the couch tweeting away, and I'm sure you guys are doing the same and all stressed. And when they ultimately lose, I'm like, oh my goodness, again. I mean, it's gotten to a point where I'm not, I mean, I get nervous, but, you know, I'm so used to it that I'm just like, whatever, because, like, this team is, like, over these last few years, it's the same nonsense. You know, it's the blown calls, it's the defensive end, it's, you know, it's the same stuff. But hopefully the Knicks will get their act together. We've been shown that they can. We've been shown that they can win. They're certainly winning at home, but it's just on the road right now where they're struggling. But, yeah, hopefully they get their act together. Hopefully they become a good defensive team. The trading deadline is next month now. It's February. It's January right now, but the trading deadline is coming. We'll see what the Knicks do and if they make any changes and see if they bring a defensive player in here, because we need more defense. We have offense, but we need more defense. But I would like to thank you guys for tuning into my podcast, another episode, episode 3. Just please make sure you download it on iTunes and Podomatic. It helps out a lot. And just keep following me on Twitter, and I'll try to get you guys involved as much as possible. You know, whether that's asking questions on Twitter or, you know, whether or not I figure out the phone system and have you guys call in and chime in and give your two cents. And we'll just have some fun with this thing. But I would like to thank my listeners for tuning into another episode, episode 3 of this podcast, New Year's Day edition. It is January 1st again, and I hope you guys have a happy new year and bless your family and bless yourself. And, you know, just start the new year off right with whether or not you set yourself some goals that you want to achieve throughout the year, or if you have a New Year's resolution, just succeed and just keep on pushing, because ultimately you will succeed and do the right things in life and you'll get to that goal where you want to get to. Thank you guys for listening again. Just make sure you keep following me on Twitter and at Knicks Nation, and subscribe to this podcast. This podcast will be available for download as soon as it gets released on iTunes and Podomatic. And make sure you guys give me some feedback. You know, comment on the video, follow me on Podomatic, rate me on iTunes. You know, it all helps. It all helps. But thank you guys again, and I hope you enjoy your day. I hope you enjoy your week. And let's see if these Knicks can get some wins this week, because that's what we need. We need to get back into Eastern Conference, that top four. We need to keep climbing these standings. But thank you guys again, and enjoy your day. And let's go, Knicks.